to PodBless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno here at the brand new PodBless Texas studio with my partner in crime, Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. And back with us today is our co-host and our good friend and co-leader of the Funky East Dallas Democrats, Funky Christy Noble.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're so
happy. What's going on, lady?
Oh, just causing trouble, like always.
You're always causing trouble.
Yeah, just a little bit busy, but things are good. Things are good. We're getting the middle of, you know, our infamous lit stick campaigns, trying to get the vote out in East Dallas for the mayoral elections and the city council elections. That's going good. And, you know, our rat team's trying to hold these representatives accountable.
I know you are.
I love it.
It's fun.
Doing great. We
That's
have
a
such
lot
a great
of accountability
show.
To be had.
I know. How's your week been, Lil? It's been okay. Yeah, it hadn't been too complicated. I've just had to plan a trip that I have to go on tomorrow. So
you are the most cryptic human on the planet.
I'm not. I'm an open book. I tell everybody everything.
I have a trip to go to a place to do a thing, and we'll be doing it from a certain period of time to another period of time.
People that are interested know. If you're interested, I'll tell you, but I don't think you are. Just like to beat me up.
I'm going to tell you what you're interested in, Kendall.
Yeah, like you really are. Anyway, we're so excited. Well, this is our first time in the studio.
Woo. Does it sound better, team?
It does.
For sure.
I think it does.
And we have a producer that we love.
He's great. Matt's great.
I know.
Does Matt want us to say his name?
That's totally fine. You can say my name.
Matt eavesdrops in. He may occasionally provide an opinion or two, maybe. I hope so.
I'll be here if you need me.
He already hates us.
And we love our studio, and we're going to be here forever. They're never getting rid of us.
Want to know how my week went, Lil?
No, not really.
Never ask me how I am or what I'm doing.
I'm trying to train you so you'll stop asking me. You understand that? That's how human behavior, like if I don't ask.
Okay, so let's just not talk. Let's just
no,
do a podcast
you and I have
just
a relationship
not
where we talk a lot, but we don't go deep.
You're an enigma, Lillian Salerno. You're an enigma.
I didn't ask you, but okay, Kendall, how was your week?
My world came crashing down around me. That's how my week went.
It's always like that, though, because of your damn weirdness about your truck.
Yes, that's what it was. This week, as we may have heard in previous episodes, I had my beautiful truck repaired, had a pretty little bed liner put in it. It was great. It was beautiful. Yeah. And this week, it all came shattering down around me. I got a scratch on the side of my truck on the panel I just fixed.
You are so upset.
I am very upset. I'm very stressed about it, but it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. I'm doing great, guys.
We're doing good.
Okay.
Wow.
This is how he acts about things like that, and I'm trying to train him not to get so attached.
Okay.
He's not listening. All right.
This wouldn't be an issue if we had legalized marijuana. I would chill out. I'd chill the fuck out, and this would not be a thing.
All right.
I'm going to die.
Okay. Well, everybody's trying to help you down in Austin. Everybody's trying.
Well,
we just can't get it
done. Try harder.
It may not happen this session, but they're trying. All right. We have such a great show today. Many of you know Fort Worth, Texas is the largest city in Texas with Republican mayor. And the Tarrant County Democratic Party chairwoman and the mayoral candidate, Deborah Peoples, is here with us today.
Yay!
Pretty excited.
Woo! She is so great.
She is.
You know, I saw her kind of speak for the first time at the State Democratic Convention in 2018, and she just brought the roof down, man. I mean,
she did.
It was wild.
Right.
I was backstage at the time because
I was too.
Everyone was kind of they were voting on vice chairs and stuff, and all the Senate candidates were in the back waiting for the voting to end so we could go on stage. 2 hours delayed, but so we were sitting back there and we were just kind of watching everyone and. You could just, it was just, the energy was palpable as she was speaking. She was so great.
A heck of a speaker. Her launch video was awesome also. Anyway, but before we get to her, we have to start out our program by hitting the headlines.
Ooh, I like that.
It's new.
Yeah.
Did you pick that? You'd love this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, other top officials propose raising the sales tax to fund property tax relief.
How do you feel about that, Christy?
Here we go.
Let's just take it from the man one more time, right?
So we actually already have the 9th highest sales tax in the country, and they're now considering raising that.
How much were they raising it?
6.25% to 7.25%.
But it's really lots of, I mean, real people get, it's really at 8.25 when you're in a city somewhere.
Right, because it's a city and then is
transit
there,
or,
Yeah, whatever's added on top of it, because we're at 8.25, so it's going to go up to 9.25 in Dallas.
Yeah, it'll go up a penny.
Penny.
And so it doesn't sound like a lot, but sales taxes are actually regressive taxes. What that means is that low-income people, working folks, pay a higher percentage of their paycheck than a rich person does. I mean, that's just common sense. If you make $1 million a year and you're paying an extra dollar for bread, that is going to hurt you less than if you make $10,000 a year and you're paying an extra dollar for bread. You're getting taxed at a higher percentage than a rich person is. And they're just doing it so that they don't have to make difficult decisions to make sure that oil companies are paying their fair share. And
that financial transactions or all kinds of things they could tax.
And changing appraisals to make sure that these developers and these folks are actually paying their fair share into the system. So congratulations, Christy. Burden's on your back again.
Okay. Thank you, Governor Abbott.
But it does require voter approval, so.
Well, it does. What they're doing is they're using it as a bargaining chip. So HB and SB 2, which is an attempt to cap sales tax increases by municipalities to 2.5% without voter approval. Lots of elected officials around the state are greatly opposed to that because it stops them from being able to do the work that it requires of them to run a city. So they don't think that it's going to be able to pass because so many people are against it. They throw this out there as an option to say, if that does pass, then we will do this to try to offset costs for our cities. And it's a way to try to corral a couple of folks over to make sure that this squeaks by and passes. We'll see if it actually works. It's remarkably unpopular. 74% of Texans said that they did not want an increase to their sales taxes.
Yeah, so. And I, for sure the Democrats are all in line with not having it happen.
But isn't it interesting that, you know, this seems like there's this process, and I don't know if they're just smart enough to make this happen over years, but you know, there was the pulling back of the education funds, which caused increase in property taxes locally, and now they're moving it right, and that's going to go down to the you know, the regular people, and that's what happened, and now they're moving right into doing something around sales tax. So I don't think this is all just, oh, this is the next best thing. They're continually pushing that type of burden away from, you know, the upper levels of the
constantly.
Economic.
Yep.
How do we stop that?
So if you are a retired teacher who owns a home in East Dallas, which are a type of person I encountered a lot in my district, you are being taxed out of your home. Property taxes are outrageous to this point where you can hardly even exist, especially when you haven't gotten a cost of living adjustment in 10, 15 years. So there absolutely needs to be something done about property taxes, but that solution is not to shift the burden from you to you.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
The correct answer is to make sure that those folks that aren't paying their fair share into the system are actually going to pay something in. We talked about that with the equal and uniform appraisal laws. I mean, you could easily garner over $5 billion in revenue if you just said that if you have a size skyscraper, you should have to pay the same in taxes as other skyscrapers.
That's hard work.
I mean, it's
they don't
ridiculous.
Want to do the hard work. I mean,
right.
And that's what we, you know, as Democrats get win more and more seats, we need to do the hard work also. I mean, you got to do hard work to fix these problems. You can't just keep pushing it down. And all right, next topic, headline. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee opens headquarters in a new headquarters in Austin, releases polling that 3 GOP-held Texas congressional districts are showing Trump's underwater. And those congressional districts are
24, 10, and 21.
So 24 is the one in North Texas currently
Marchant.
Held by Ken Marchant, and 21 is the one currently held by Chip Roy in outside of Austin, and 10
is Michael McCaul.
Wow, I can't believe he's at risk.
Yeah, well,
it's out in Elgin.
That district is strange. That is Houston and Austin with Alabama in the middle.
Exactly. It is.
And
yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But what the numbers are showing is in the 24th, Trump approval is 41, disapproval is 44. In the Texas 10, Trump approval is 44, disapproval is 45. And in the 21st, Trump approval is at 45 with the disapproval at 48. And that's the district that Wendy Davis is talking about running in.
Yep.
In 10?
21.
Mm-hmm. No, 21?
21.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 21, 21.
Yeah, Joseph Cosper ran last time and almost won. He's only lost by 3 points.
The DCCC believes that there are six districts that could potentially be in play in the state, and that's why they just opened up an office here where I hear they're going to have eight staff members.
Which is just incredible.
That's amazing.
What they did in Orange County in California, where they picked up
in 2018,
they picked up six seats in California last year.
Time flies when you're having fun,
right,
Christy?
Can you believe that we are really, truly at play?
Finally.
I can, because when they draw these districts, it takes time to be able to make up the difference. I mean, they draw them so that we are so dead in them. But it's almost been 10 years. We've been incrementally gaining and gaining in these districts. And sure enough, there's enough time for them to be able to redistrict them again. But
it's just in the nick of time.
10 years later, we're at a point where I think we're going to be able to pick up a bunch of these seats.
Get over that little hill. How many are running in 24 at this point? Do we know?
Seven. As many as are running for president, I'm sure.
Okay.
If you are not running for president of the United States, you are running.
In Congressional District 24.
In Congressional District 24.
All right. Next headline. Texas Senate passes two-year budget with money for property tax cuts, but no plan on how to spend it. Oh, my God.
They are clowns. They're that kid that sits in the corner of the classroom with a dunce hat on. I mean, so they passed this budget. Jane Nelson, who's the finance chair, Republican for Flower Mound, they passed this where they set some money aside and said, this is for property tax reform. End of sentence.
Like, there's nothing to tell. We don't know what else to do.
That's just what it's going to be. We don't know what we're going to do with it or how that's going to be spent, but that's just what it's for. It's for property tax reform.
Let's have that as a placeholder, please. I'll take that as a placeholder.
I mean, what a joke. But I'm glad they at least passed it. And now we get to move forward with the real stuff and seeing how the Senate and the House are going to work together to make things happen.
I have to say, sometimes I think Dennis Bonin's sort of a boss. He's not terrible. The Senate's terrible.
Because you're comparing him to people.
Yeah, maybe.
If you,
I'm comparing him to Dan Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just had him as a standalone.
No.
It's the same thing with Joe Strauss. 10 years ago, if you had put those people up, there's no way in hell I'd be saying that they're good folks.
Which has had so many years of bad legislators.
The Republicans
compared
have gotten
to that
so
hard work,
bad.
That hard work bar.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What we need to compare him to.
No, that's right. That's right.
At least he's a Republican coming to the table with some solutions, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not seeing that in the Senate at all.
No, you're really not. All right. Next headline. This Senate Bill 9, which is, according to civil rights groups and activists around the state, could send people to jail for mistakes on voter applications.
Hold Christy Noble back. Hold her back.
This is ridiculous. I mean, we're trying to get people out to vote. And what, it's because we put four digits in a zip code or something, but we have, I mean, I don't know what they're trying to do here, but
voter
suppression. Voter suppression. Yeah. The part of that is super interesting is we all can't go ride to the polls together, Kendall. Did you know that?
Three of us. No more. So the three of us can, but we better not have Deborah Peoples in the car with us.
I mean, plus, I mean, there's a whole, I mean, in every campaign that I've worked at, you have a whole drive people to the polls program.
Exactly.
That's part of your campaign, people that don't drive. And you pick them up because some people are elderly and some people don't have driver's license.
What it's really doing is they're trying to stop the Souls to the Polls programs.
Right. Yep.
Where we funded, like in
my
district.
Explain Souls to Polls for people who don't know.
Well, in my district, we all work together to fund buses or vans that would go from African-American churches to the polls, where after you go to church on a Sunday, the Sunday where they have early voting, we help you get to the polls if you have a difficult time getting there, because church is a really big deal, especially in their community, and it's a lot easier for them to go to the polls if they all do it together. They don't have to worry about the intimidation, especially in really rural areas that you would typically get.
Right.
So they're just trying to stop you from being able to have these Souls of the Polls programs.
It's an assault.
Yeah,
it's
and the other program that would hurt is the in Dallas, we were working to get high school kids who have been registered to the polls, and so there were going to be buses that take people to the polls. I mean, how can that ever be a bad thing? I don't understand how this could be.
People voting is a bad thing to them. The less people that vote, the easier it is for them to win.
Can you define democracy for me again?
I don't know that I can.
Okay.
So this bill was written by Brian Hughes of Mineola. It would make it a state jail felony to provide incorrect information on a voter application, and that's currently a Class B misdemeanor. It would allow for a paper trail on voting machines, which we're all cool with. I don't think that's a part that anybody's really fighting too hard. And it would prohibit more than three people from riding together to go vote in a vehicle.
So since I still think that I live in Dallas, even though my permanent residence is I don't know where anymore, it's in Louisville, and I vote in the Dallas mayoral.
Lillian's homeless.
And I'm voting in the Dallas mayoral because I live in East Dallas.
I did see you in the Albertsons.
Yeah, I live in East Dallas. I live in East Dallas, sort of, but my permanent residence. So if I accidentally vote for my friends in the mayoral and city council, I could go to jail.
Lillian, I don't think that you want to get on recording all the voter fraud that you did.
I'm not running. All right, here we go. That was Hit the Headlines. You love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that fun? Okay, guys. We're going to do the first of what I hope is going to be a whole lot of celebrations of Democrats that are standing up for what's right, even when it's difficult. This week, freshman Senator Nathan Johnson, who represents one of the most competitive Senate districts in the entire state, he stood up on the floor of the Senate against Senator Kolkhorst of Brenham, I believe. She was proposing that same bullshit Born Alive bill that Democratic Representative Victoria Neave caved in and voted for last week.
Woohoo!
Way to go, Nathan.
Well, Johnson went on the record and told Kolkhorst, and is this about protecting life, or is this about persecuting the physician, or harassing the physician, or intimidating the physician? He went on to say, I don't see this bill as truly being aimed at a real problem, at a real threat. What he did see was it was aimed at physicians who want to practice their own profession consistent with their own beliefs and the constitutional rights of their patients.
So Senator Nathan Johnson, our friend from Senate District 16, for doing what's right, even when it was difficult, even when you were in one of the closest swing races that we have, we are going to give you Pod Bless Texas' first ever award. You get our very first kazoo marching band.
Oh, I love this.
What you picked.
It's a kazoo marching band. It's an award. Who doesn't want a kazoo marching band?
I think everybody, really.
Congratulations, Nathan Johnson. We appreciate the work that you're doing in places that are just as hard as that state Senate. It's not always easy to be a fighter for progressive causes, especially when you're in such a swing district. Thank you for all that you're doing.
Absolutely.
So, okay, now it's time for everyone's fourth favorite segment, poll results. Yeah, new poll results song. All these new songs because we're in the new studio. It's great. So this Monday, we only have had 4 days in between episodes, but this Monday we asked, what office should George Rodriguez run for? And we gave you the options of coroner, Congress again, primary Lillian Salerno for U.S. Senate, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, president of the United States, or others. And then there were the others. Are you ready for it, Christy?
I'm excited.
What should George Rodriguez run for? Chief of Badassedness. What should George Rodriguez run for? State House District 108. He should move into HD 94 and run against that asshole Tenderholt. I totally agree with you, Drew from Dallas. What should George Rodriguez run for? George, Kendall, and Lillian should be the three Texas Railroad Commissioners. That was a good one. What should George Rodriguez run for? George should run for his life. Why would he want to run for office again? We don't deserve George Rodriguez. I think you're completely right about that. Thank you to the others. So just for those who didn't do others, 33% of you said that he should primary Lillian Salerno for U.S. Senate. 13% of you said that he should run for POTUS. 13% said he should run for mayor. And 7% said that he should run for Congress. So those are the options that we had for poll results. And that was poll results.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the Democratic mayoral candidate for Fort Worth, Deborah Peoples, on.
Pod Bless Texas is brought to you by the Texas Cannabis Industry Association. The Texas Cannabis Industry Association is a nonpartisan organization that works to ensure the favorable social, economic, and legal environment necessary for a legitimate and responsible cannabis industry here in Texas. TCIA is hosting screenings of the feature documentary from Ricky Lake and Abby Epstein, Weed the People, across Texas where educational medical marijuana is most needed. Visit TexasCannabisIndustry.org for details regarding sponsorships of these screenings around our state.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas, where we are recording our very first episode in the brand new Pod Bless Texas studio. And with us today is the Democratic nominee for mayor of Fort Worth.
Yay! Yay!
Deborah Peoples.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am sitting in a blue city, in a blue room. I couldn't be happier.
But you're going to turn this into a blue region,
yes,
right?
I
is
am.
That what we're working
absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So for folks that aren't familiar with it, When people like to run for mayor and city council, they a lot of times like to pretend like it's nonpartisan.
That's right.
And the good ones act like it is. But in Fort Worth, we've got a situation where she's hugging Donald Trump all the time and
yes.
campaigning for Ted Cruz while also telling you to stop being partisan, right?
That's right. So, you know, Fort Worth is unique. And so I like to tell people, we've been a blue city for a long time, but we've heard all this Republican rhetoric about how red the county is. And so people started believing that Fort Worth was red. It is not. It has been blue, blue, blue. And yet we've elected a mayor who has hidden behind the nonpartisan banner for almost 8 years now and said, oh, I'm nonpartisan. But when she gets elected, she leads with a very Republican agenda. And yes, Donald Trump has the distinction of saying she is his fantastic friend.
Well, any fantastic friend of Donald Trump is a fantastic enemy of mine.
Hasn't she been to the White House several times?
Oh, she's been to the White House several times, and there are great pictures of her. She's been on TV with him, and he's pointed her out in meetings, and she wears it as a badge of honor. And so what she does is she goes to Washington, she has a good time with conservative Republicans, and she comes home and she makes life miserable for the citizens who live in Fort Worth. And it's time that we end that.
I have to tell you, whenever I saw your speech last year at the State Democratic Party's convention, I was just enamored with how great you are and how good your presence is, and was just thrilled whenever I saw that you were running. How have you found pushback going from people in Fort Worth, or have you found pushback going from you being, I mean, you are the Democratic Party chair for Tarrant County.
That's right.
Have you seen a lot of pushback there from folks?
So, of course, I've heard it from Republicans. You know, they see that's an issue. But for people who know me and know what I do, I've spent years as a community activist. If you name it, I've been out there fighting for women's issues, for issues around people of color, for religious freedom. I have been out there. So people who know me know that I believe in equity and fairness across the board. So I haven't gotten any pushback from them. I've just gotten pushback from Republicans saying, well, then you won't enact our agenda anymore, will you? And the answer is absolutely not. We have people who are, I mean, there are real issues in Fort Worth. And, you know, we have a mayor who has given away unfettered tax abatements to businesses. And we now have people who are literally suffering, who might lose their homes, who have issues like that. We claim that we're the 15th largest city, Kendall and Lily, in the nation, but we don't have a public transportation system. There is no DART for us to get in. There is no BART, no MARTA. I mean, we have only public buses to take us around. And if you say you're a great cities have great transportation.
Things. Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't have good jobs. You know, most citizens in Fort Worth are driving out of the city daily to get well-paying jobs. That shouldn't happen in a world-class city.
I mean, Fort Worth is the largest city run by a Republican mayor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that has been done because Republicans control the narrative. And unfortunately, Democrats believed it. But the last election, everybody kept telling me, all this Republican pollsters kept saying, oh, don't worry, little lady. Beto will do well, but he's not going to win Tarrant County. And I went, And so that night at midnight, I was calling people because we did deliver Tarrant County for the congressman. We also took back three seats, and one was our state senator, and ousted a Tea Party Republican, Connie Burton. And so So we were dancing. But there is more great things to come. And the road to 2020 starts with electing great people in 2019.
Absolutely.
What's just staggering to me about Fort Worth, because I really enjoy whenever I go to Fort Worth. But what was just very staggering to me whenever I went was the level of income inequality in that city.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
You will be in some neighborhoods that look like Highland Park and literally go across an interstate and there is just a slew of homeless folks.
And Kendall, that's the issue, is that we have city leadership that has not distributed the opportunity for income parity across the city. We have neighborhoods that are suffering inside the loop with a lack of infrastructure, but we also have all these new areas that we've annexed outside the city, young folks that are starting off, that we're building homes. I had somebody tell me, you know, we finally got a police station, but we don't have anything else. No parks, no libraries. Those are the kinds the things that create great neighborhoods and make life good, but we've been pouring our resources, city resources, into only certain areas of the city, and that's not fair to all our citizens.
And as far as being an activist and living from that perspective and talking about the narrative, how do you change that narrative in your city for not the people in the know and that really understand and are in it day in and day out of what's going on, but for those people who lean left, what can you tell them that this is what's been going on and this is how we're going to change that?
So what I tell people is all politics is local. So we're a grassroots organization at the Tarrant County Democratic Party. We walk, we talk, we knock on doors, we make telephone calls. And too often I heard people say, well, I don't vote because nothing for me ever changes. And so when I'd say, well, what hasn't changed? Well, there are potholes in my street. Well, we can't get good jobs. We don't have a way to get good jobs. We don't support small businesses. And I said, you know what? All of those things that you're talking about are local. All of those things are controlled by the local policymakers. And so until we change the face of local politics, you won't see that change. And I think people are getting that message. They're enthusiastic. They understand that we have the ability to change the trajectory of Fort Worth, Texas, but it has to start in May.
Absolutely.
Yes.
One of the things I think that people don't know about you is you're an activist, and that's how a lot of people know you, running the Tarrant County Democratic Party. But you also were a business person
that's
for 35 years and ran a huge organization.
Yes. So, Lillian, I love to tell people, and I did. I went to work for a large communications company. AT&T started out as a member of labor, and I'm proud to say that labor has endorsed me, not only our Central Labor Council, but the Texas Working Families Party and CWA and all these great organizations, because they know that even when I was an executive, though, I still believed in fairness and equity. And it was never us against them. It was how do we build a better culture for both of us. And so I have taken those experiences as an executive and my community activist background to pair them together. And so as a result, I try to listen a lot and talk less. I'm talking a lot today, but I try to build consensus among teams, and that is what I will bring to the table. And I think many people who know me recognize that.
Awesome.
Well, you're undoubtedly qualified. We know that you're going to do wonderful. And what day? When is Election Day?
Election Day is on May the 4th, but but early voting is from April 22nd to April 30th, and that's where we're urging people to get out and vote. Too often, I have been working on campaigns where it rains on the actual election day, or something happens, and so we want people to take advantage of this period from April the 22nd through April the 30th. Go and cast your ballot at any one of 42 locations around the city versus sitting there and waiting till Election Day. I get a call at 10 minutes to 7 that says, Deborah, I'm in South Arlington. Where's my polling location? I go, it's in far north Fort Worth. And they go, what can I do? And I said, I can't tell you the speed, but unless you can get there in 15 minutes and get in line, you are not able to vote. So please vote early.
I always vote on the first day of early voting.
Absolutely.
Because if I get hit by a bus, my vote's counting whether you people like it or not.
Well, but that's a good way to think it. I wish more people would think like that. Let me tell you, Fort Worth is blue. And so I am committed to changing the face of power in Texas, not just Fort Worth, not just North Texas, but all of Texas. Fort Worth is the last urban county that still has a lot of red in it. We turned purple the last time. My job is to turn it bright, bright blue. And if we turn Tarrant County blue, we win Texas and we win the nation.
Absolutely.
So it's simple. Yeah.
It's ground zero.
Yes, it
is. I think you're going to do it, Deborah. Deborah, yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Are you ready for everybody's favorite segment?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We are going to play Obsessed. Obsessed, where each of us are going to talk about one story from this week, whether it was politics or it wasn't, that we've been completely obsessed with. And as always, we're starting with you, Lil. What's something
great.
You've been obsessed with?
Well, I'm obsessed because there's only about 6 more weeks left in the Texas legislative session, mm-hmm. and the cannabis bills are, you know, not going anywhere. And they need to. And we have something on the books that they passed in last session where we have a compassionate care for medical marijuana, and we have 3 dispensaries in Texas. And for those 3 dispensaries, after hundreds of millions of dollars of investment, they've only served 700 patients.
Ugh. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Because they've made it so limiting. And so here we have in Oklahoma, they passed their Medical Cannabis Act last year, and they've served over 10,000 patients. Mm-hmm. We've served 700 over 3 years.
Wow.
And we don't see how it's going to happen unless people get involved. And there's lots of moms that have kids with seizures and lots of veterans mm-hmm. that need it, and they're not entitled to use it.
Public opinion's on our side on this one.
Yes,
I don't understand why people are dragging their feet.
People are scared of the issue.
No, they are. And so you have a very conservative leadership team, and people are afraid that they will upset their particular voters, and rather than looking at the good for everybody in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good one, Lillian. I like it.
Yeah.
Christy, what is something that you have been obsessed with this
okay,
week?
Now, you know, when I'm on, I don't do politics. I have to bring something interesting, different into the mix. So mine is sports related. Of course, it's basketball related because we just went through the Final Four. It was a great week in Texas for basketball, right? We got Texas Tech in the men's Final Four in the championship game, came up a little bit short. We got the Baylor Bears.
Absolutely.
Who won the national championship. And this is the little known fact, and this is a personal connection for me. So there's a team that I played for in Plainview, Texas, called Wayland Baptist University.
I know.
Yeah, because you're from Odessa,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
All right.
The Flying Queens.
The Flying Queens. All right, so.
That's true.
Let me tell you about that. Okay, this is going to take a second now. So the program started in 1912, right, when girls still had to play half-court basketball.
Yes.
Sometime around the 40s or the 50s, they were the Harvest Queens back then because that's where cotton,
yes,
right?
That's right.
There was a guy who owned the airstrip in Plainview, Texas. His name was Claude Hutcherson.
Yep.
And they... The team was one of the only girls basketball teams that did scholarships at that time for women,
okay.
Right? And that was obviously way before Title IX. Mm-hmm. And so they had the opportunity to play the Russian national team in Mexico City. And Claude, they had no
Two
way to
of
get there.
Trump's favorite places.
So Claude Hutcherson said, you know what, I'm going to fly you guys. He took them on 3 Beechcraft airplanes. They flew down there. The family loved doing it so much that they said, we are going to now be the way that you get to all your away games, and we're going to call you the Hutcherson Flying Queens. Since then, they've sponsored the team. When I played, we flew on those very similar flying,
wow.
You know, that's how we got.
Yes.
Anyway, there's lots of stories there. So, the alumni association that I'm on has been working extremely, extremely hard to get the Naismith Hall of Fame to recognize Wayland Baptist and the Flying Queens program. And on Saturday, that program was inducted into the National Basketball Hall of Fame. So I've been obsessed with that.
That's a good obsess, Christy. Yeah.
My sister played there too.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so neat.
I know, but I didn't.
See?
Wow, I didn't know anyone else knew about Wayland Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
Good work, Christy. Good
yes.
one. Deborah, what's something this week that you've just been completely obsessed with?
I'm obsessed with taxation without representation.
Let
me just tell you this. So in Fort Worth, Texas, we have some of the highest tax rates in the state. And so we just got our appraisals. And so as a little old senior citizen, and I am one who owns my home, I got my tax bill. And of course, I wanted to scream. Some tax rates went up 20 to 30%.
Yeah. Yep.
For people that, you know, they're ending up, even if you don't own your own home, you're ending up with shortfalls. And so they're calling you from your mortgage company saying you owe more money. Well, our mayor, who has given away unfettered tax abatements to big businesses, and businesses are delighted with their tax bills. Our mayor likes to tout the fact that she says, well, we lowered taxes three times over the last 8 years, but the appraisals have continued to go up and up and up. So what is happening now is citizens in Fort Worth are finding themselves with these onerous tax bills, and many are struggling to find ways to pay them. And so much of my week has been spent on the phone with voters who've gotten these tax bills saying, what can I do? What can you do for me? And so I, as part of my campaign for mayor, we got to fix this, and we need to fix it if Fort Worth is going to be a livable city. So I'm obsessed.
All right, Fort Worth, raise your hand if you feel like your taxes have gone down in the last, how long has she been mayor?
8 years.
In the last 8 years?
That's
no
right.
One's hand should be up unless you're a massive corporation.
They're not, okay? and they're not. And so that's my obsession and something that I'm really focused on fixing.
That's a good one, Deborah. Awesome. Good obsessed. Good. My obsessed this week is not as lighthearted as all of yours have been. Mine is Representative Tenderholt from Arlington, who authored a bill that would have given the death penalty to women who seek abortions. And this is why I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it because if you are a woman who has been raped and you get pregnant, I know that women's bodies have ways of shutting that down if it's a legitimate rape, right? But if
reference, give a reference to that.
Todd Akin, it's a reference.
Yes. Okay.
I'm saying if you're a woman who was raped and you get pregnant and you seek an abortion to terminate that pregnancy, under this bill, she could be tried for the death penalty and her rapist would not.
That's absolutely.
Right. I think that is disgusting. It is immoral. It is reprehensible.
It's
is against everything that we stand for as human beings. I have just been completely obsessed with it since I've seen it. So that's my obsess for the week, is that somebody needs to run against that guy and we've got to take him out. We've got to fund those people. And we've got to help these people that are running grassroots campaigns against these nutcases because they just get worse and worse and worse. Every year.
Well, I love you for bringing that up because that race is in Tarrant County. That is House District 94. We had an amazing candidate last time, and we will have a candidate. We came within about 8 points of winning that race. We're going to be on the ground because you're right. He needs to go.
I always like to play a game with people called a Texas Ledge MMA. I'm going to play this with you right quick,
okay.
Deborah Peoples. Who do you think would win in a fight between Tony Tenderholt and John Stickland? Who would win in a fight?
Well, that's a hard one, but let me just tell you something. Stickland, since he's been advertising to find people to smoke weed with him and stuff, he might do Tenderholt in. Okay,
it's a trick question. As long as they both get punched in the face, we all win. And that was Obsessed! That new jingle, so jazzy.
I love it, love it. Deborah, we are so happy you came and visited with us today and took the time out of your busy schedule. And what's the next time someone can come and hear you speak?
So tonight, it was the debate that almost wasn't. Tonight, the League of Women Voters are putting on a forum at Tarrant County College, the South Campus, from 6 to 8 p.m. Our mayor, absent mayor.
Yes, truant.
Absent yet again. Truant was going to be there, and so, but I understand that she decided not to, so they almost had to cancel the forum. Now, one of the other candidates, James McBride, is coming, so you will be able to see me tonight at the Tarrant County College. And if you will go to my website, www.peoplesnumber4mayor.com, we have events listed because I'm doing about 7 or 8 events today, plus walking and talking.
Well, awesome. You're killing it. Yeah. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Christy, for being here,
yes,
being
Christy.
Our third mic. And how can people contact you?
You can contact me on Feds org. And then you can also contact me through our Facebook page and our Twitter page at the Feds.
Good stuff. And if you like what you've heard, please take time to hit subscribe and give us a 5-star rating in your podcast store. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Pod Bless Texas for more content from the team. Lillian, where can people find you?
Yes, they can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Lillian_Salerno.
Cool stuff.
All right.
And you can find me on Twitter at Kendall Scudder.
And thank you for joining us on Pod Bless Texas. On behalf of myself and Kendall and the entire team, have a blessed day.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.